This is the Tom Likas Show.
Women love to say what pieces of shit they are.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
Shut your fucking yap.
Tom Likas.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live. Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. 24/7 at tom.show. You can hear us on our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at tomeverywhere.com. That's tomeverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again. Another bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And joining us as he does every Tuesday here in studio, here he is, family law attorney Adam Sachs. Good to see you, Adam.
Great to be here, Tom.
What's going on? Here we are, Valentine's Day.
Oh, yes, yes.
And there's a lot of women who are about to do something stupid, and our listeners are going to benefit.
Absolutely.
There's also a lot of... Our guys are going to do something stupid, and how are we going to deal with that?
That's important.
Yeah.
That's the real question here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Tom, there's definitely a world of industry that's built around this, you know. In terms of the single life and getting married, there's a wedding industry, right? There's flowers, there's the chocolate companies. Yeah. Some of these, you know, they're encouraging all of this. And it's all very nice to buy, you know, a box of chocolates for a girl. But, you know, a lot of women are expecting the diamond to come on this kind of holiday, Valentine's Day. And, you know, diamonds are worthless. You realize that. They're not even rare. Did you know that?
Not only do I know that, but I made a comparison on the show one time to pussy. I said that pussy and diamonds have this in common.
Right.
Many people think when they've got one, it's so rare and so valuable.
Right.
The reality is there's a ton of it out there, and you can get it really cheaply.
Well, so there's the illusion of scarcity.
Right.
But there's actually, I mean, it's not even a secret or anything. There's a worldwide cartel that literally controls the diamond industry, and they actually have enough diamonds to last at current demand for thousands of years. And what they do is they keep them in vaults and create an artificial shortage. Now, gold is actually, you know, there's not that much. It's a scarce metal. But diamonds are absolutely plentiful. And in that sense, I guess what you're saying in terms of women, I mean, women are creating a scarcity, right? I mean, there's women everywhere. It's half the population, actually more than half the population.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the interesting thing, and this is definitely true, you know, there was a time when people got married, you know, 18, 19, 20, early 20s, and now they're putting it off and putting it off and, you know, maybe not even getting married at all. And I think that there's a big difference between men and women. I mean, psychologically, you know that guys can, you know, live on their own, do their thing. They're really okay. And for women, I think it's really damaging. And you see, and this is really true, one of your callers earlier today was saying this, you know, women closer to my age, you know, in their, like, let's say late 30s and 40s, they are really, really bitter and they're really angry. And they really believed, especially, you know, something even more emphasis on the really good-looking ones. They really thought, you know, I'm so hot. You know, this is when they were like 19, 20, right. You know. I'm getting everything handed to me. Everyone's rolling out the red carpet. This is going to last forever. And I'm going to have, you know, Prince Charming. And they met some really nice guys, but, you know, he wasn't rich enough. He wasn't good enough. He wasn't tall enough. And now they're in their 30s and their 40s, and they've got, like, you know, two kids from two different guys that don't pay support on dime. And they don't have the dream house and the dream car and everything else they expected. And they're pretty pissed off.
Right.
And, you know, this is definitely one of those things. Your great advice, your brilliant advice, Tom, that I remember from years ago, was not to go to prom. And what you said, that prom, which is usually when you're like 18 or so in high school, was sort of like auditioning to be a gold digger. So this was like the first step that a girl, you know, kind of...
It's training women to be gold
training.
Diggers.
Yeah, exactly,
yeah.
My point. That you kind of get in there and the woman's like, oh, you have to buy me a corsage and we need a limo and I want this and a hotel afterwards and it has to be expensive this and expensive that. And it's sort of this idea that she's sitting there and all these people are catering to her. I watched this TV show a few months ago. They were showing a model. I think it was Gazelle. She was the one married to the football player, and she's sitting in a chair, and they're preparing her for a big shoot, and she has maybe 10 people doting on her. And she's sitting in this chair, kind of reclining, with her eyes closed. And literally, these 10 people, one's going ballistic on her hair. One's doing her makeup on her face. She's got two people getting her clothes right. She's got someone working on her shoes. There's another one rubbing her back and massaging her and getting her. I mean, this is the fantasy of women. I'm sitting here, I'm this passive thing, and all these people are going to be, you know, jumping all over and waiting on me and everything. And this is, I think, very much in terms of what you talk about now, which is Valentine's Day now being upon us, that you as the guy are supposed to produce. That's the bottom
and
line.
And get nothing in return.
Oh, hell. I mean, yeah. I mean, why should you get anything? The woman is giving you the most unbelievable gift, just being there, just allowing
right.
you to be in her presence.
That's
I mean,
right.
You have to come and, you know, kiss the ground and so forth.
Do you know when I was unloading one of the wives, one of the MTLs?
We're not going to say which one. That's good.
No, because they do threaten
lawsuits. Those litigious MTLs.
Yes. No, but I was told when I said it's over and you need to get out, I was told, but I wasted my peak years on you.
That's right.
So there's definitely an awareness.
Oh, absolutely.
That you have a window of opportunity.
Oh, I think they know.
Right.
I remember seeing that on some of those kind of Jerry Springer shows
mm-hmm.
with the girls screaming, you know, I wasted 6 years on you, Leroy.
That's
I wasted
right.
6 years.
Yeah.
Now, what does that mean exactly? So she was spending those 6 years with you. Your time wasn't wasted, of course.
Right.
Only her time was wasted.
Right.
You know, I read that biologically, one of the reasons that women bounce back so quickly from relationships, where, you know, you'll dump a chick and, like, next week she's already with someone else, is because they have a window. You know,
right.
not just of looks, which is definitely true, but literally of fertility. And if you look at some of the statistics, and you and I were just talking about this, right, Tom?
Yeah.
They're saying, what, 1 in 3 or 1 in 4 American women in their 20s is mentally ill?
Right.
I mean, you're going to hit one of those.
That's right.
And Sex and the City, right? I remember reading that 1 out of 2 women in New York, these single, swinging single ladies, has herpes, or is it just a disease in general or whatever?
Something.
They have at least one major sex disease to share with you.
That's right.
And, I mean, how could it be otherwise if you meet someone that's had, like these New York girls that have had 50 or 100 or more partners or whatever? That's just mathematics, just like these porn stars. I was reading that the majority of porn stars have sex diseases, which is not very hard to believe if you think about it.
No.
The thing is that our society has certainly become more and more vaginized. And you really see that, like, on the Grammys yesterday. I mean, in all seriousness, if I'm going to be an American guy and I'm going to sit down with my son who's 17, what are we watching when we watch the Grammys? What do we have in common with this? This is music for women. You have pregnant Beyoncé. That's this female icon, right? It's the empowerment of women, right? You have all of this music that is geared towards women. You have all of this kind of, you know, makeup and costumes, the whole thing. I mean, what's left in terms of what guys like, right?
It's not at the Grammy Awards, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, but football, right? They're making them wear pink ribbons and
pink do-rags.
Talk about their feelings or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, if you really think about it, this is part of what's happened, and it has translated. I mean, guys are becoming that type where, as a man, not just, you know, being feminine or whatever, but emphasizing, you know, feelings and emotions and whatnot. And there definitely is a real chemical effect that, you know, those feelings and that kind of attraction has on you in terms of being a man. And this is something now that is absolutely toxic in our world, in our society. This is something that guys are being drawn into. Now, it's really adorable if you want to buy your girl some flowers or something. I mean, I can respect that. But, you know, you should wonder, why isn't she also getting you something? And if it's this kind of holiday like this, if you're compromising yourself, if you're buying a diamond, which is what, 2 months' salary, Tom? You're
that, well, that's what the ads campaign says. That's not necessarily true.
Yeah, but you're spending, you know, theoretically a lot of money to basically fulfill her desires.
Right.
You know, it's really interesting. Gary was talking with Dino in the news about this actress I like, Scarlett Johansson. And she is saying that being monogamous has been so difficult for her. So difficult. The poor thing, you know?
Right. Because she can have any guy she wants.
Yeah, right. But meanwhile, she settled down after, you know, running around or whatever she did. She has all her dreams. She has a child. She's saying how unbelievable it's been for her to be a mother and how beautiful it's been and how wonderful it's been for her and such an incredible experience and all that. And meanwhile, she's essentially bitching. And she's saying, like, this is, like, you know, so difficult for me, and it's such a sacrifice, and, you know, it's been so, marriage is so much work. You know, when someone says that, Tom, that really blows the lid off the whole thing. I mean, if marriage was such a good thing, if it was positive, it was wonderful to be married, and so much happiness, why would everyone always tell you how much work it is? Like, how much they suffered with it and how difficult it's been for them. It's remarkable to me. And, you know, it's really interesting in terms of following up, because I've met a lot of people over the years who were very quick to tell me how happily married they were. And I've lived long enough now to run into these people a few years later when they're getting divorced. And they say, I say, but John, you told me you were happy 2 years ago. Oh, what a bunch of crap that was. I was pretending. I was mouthing the words. I was going through the motions. I was saying what I thought I had to say. I mean, that's true love. You got to love that.
Jesus.
So the thing I want to talk about in terms of family law, I want guys to think about this, and this is really important, is you have to be aware of the aspect of this in your life and how it's going to affect you in terms of your own thinking. Now, us men, we are definitely tending towards being much more logical than women, much more rational. But a lot of us, and you know this is true, Tom, we always talk about this, a lot of us, myself included, I don't want anyone to feel criticized, were raised by single mothers. And I'm not saying, you know, my mother didn't try real hard, but it's different being the child of a single mother, especially when you're a boy. You don't necessarily have a lot of context and connection to things. It's a lot different in terms of the female side. And you are now approaching, let's say, a relationship or getting divorced, and you're not thinking clearly. You're using this brain of yours, which is configured in the new culture, which is being emotional and being overreacting and worrying about feelings and trying to understand how you feel and what connection you have and all this other nonsense. And what's fascinating is guys call me and they're in terrible situations and I'm trying to focus their attention and focus their thinking, and they have a real problem being rational. They have a big problem thinking carefully and thinking clearly. And they're obviously very much adulterated by a lot of this feminization and vagination of their minds. It's really true. And I actually say what you say, Tom. I say to a lot of guys, you know, do you have your father around? Do you have your brother? Can you talk to someone? Because they've, like, lost the plot. And you've got to remember, in terms of legal strategy and so forth, when you go to court, you have to make sense. I mean, you have to present something. Now, I've got guys, you know, obviously if I'm presenting it, I'm trying to focus. But I've got guys that are absolutely convinced that they want to represent themselves. And one of the reasons that that's a bad thing to do is because you get emotionally involved in your own thing. You're not thinking clearly. But, for example, I talked to a guy just the other day who was talking about how he wanted custody. And they had two daughters, and one was like a year, and one was like 5, and he wanted custody. And I tried to talk to him and hash this out with him about, why do you want custody? What does that mean to you? And it was very clear to me after a very short time that the reason he wanted custody was to get revenge on his ex. That he essentially wanted to take the kids away from her, and he was going to show her, and he was going to hurt her by doing this. And you got to recognize that if you go into court with that kind of thinking, that kind of attitude, you're going to get killed. There's no way the judge is going to go along with that. Judges aren't stupid. And if they're saying to you, you want custody, are you in the position to take custody? Do you have a place for your children to sleep? What's the school district like where you live? What's the situation in your family? If you don't have good answers and you're not prepared, you're going to get clobbered and you're going to look like an asshole. That's the worst part. The judge is not going to forget it. The judge is going to remember. And the judge is going to think about your papers and look at you and is going to say, you know, you're a spiteful person. You're just asking for custody to hurt your ex. And I'm going to actually go the other way. You can end up getting screwed on custody because you approached your request wrong. And what I think this is very much linked, and this is what I was talking about before, this is very much connected to what I'm talking about now, which is this vagination, where men, instead of using their brain and being rational, when I talk to guys now and they tell me how they got married, how the woman talked them in to buying a condo or to selling things that they really cared about and buying junk or whatever, doing stupid things, making really stupid decisions, giving up business opportunities. I mean, you got to remember that one of the things that a woman is afraid of is that you're going to kind of go beyond her. Now, you know this, Tom. We talked about this many times.
Yeah.
She wants you to be as successful as you are when you met her. And she figures if you become a rock star or you do this, you know, big dream and whatever, that you're going to outgrow her.
And to be fair, you will.
It's not a joke. Women, listen, they have instincts. These are based on hundreds of thousands of years of evolution. And they know that if they get with you and you have the opportunity to get hotter and hotter women, and as they're getting older and less attractive and whatnot, that, you know, you're going to necessarily go and dump them. That's the truth. You know, I just saw this this really fantastic movie, Tom, called The Founder.
I haven't seen it yet, but it's definitely this weekend.
Tom, it's got you written all over it.
I'm sure.
It's the story of the guy that, you know, founded and the founders and then created McDonald's.
Ray Kroc.
Yeah, yeah, and the McDonald's brothers. And it's about, you know, he's the main character, Ray Kroc, and it's just genius. But he's married, and you see that there's this gap between him and his wife. And there's this, you know, kind of a growing tension. And, you know, he's actually starting it when he's older. He's in his 50s.
Right. I mean,
you know, this is a great credit for people that haven't made it yet, you know.
Yeah.
You know, guys that tell me, well, I'm screwed. I'm in my 40s. I'm never going to do anything. That's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a guy that was just, you know, a working stiff, a salesman. You know, and he was very ambitious, but he hadn't really clicked on anything that he had done. And he ends up getting involved, starting McDonald's when he is, you know, like we said, in his 40s, 50s, I should say. And he ends up just kicking ass. But there's a real tension, and ultimately he becomes literally a billionaire. I mean, he you know, builds up the McDonald's Corporation to what it is today. And, you know, naturally, he gets divorced. He leaves his wife for a much hotter chick.
Yeah.
I mean, is everyone shocked when they see that? I mean, that's just unbelievable,
that's right?
Who knew that was going to happen? I don't know. You know, who saw that happening? And I don't know if you know this, Tom. This is kind of something that was sort of quietly under the radar. But, Google's parent company is now called Alphabet. That's the owner of Google. And one of the founders, who's, you know, still with the company, very multi-billionaire rich guy, you know, he married his wife just as Google was, like, going public. And they've had one of the most expensive divorces in history.
Nice.
And this chick who's, you know, I don't think she really had anything much to do with Google, is now one of the largest stockholders. She's worth literally billions of dollars. And, you know, he ended up getting with a much younger, hotter chick.
Of course.
Is that like, oh, I just cannot believe that happened. How did that happen? It's impossible, right?
Yes.
Never heard the end of that story before. But I think what you have to really look at is that the goals of men and women today are very, very different. And they've really diverged very significantly. And to hear a woman like, I mean, whoever, it doesn't matter, but like this Scarlett Johansson saying, you know, I have a baby and I'm dying to cheat on my husband. Monogamy is so difficult. It's like that is the opposite of everything that we were ever told. The whole point was supposed to be that women wanted monogamy, that guys were dogs, and women were the ones that helped you settle down, and you had a family, and the woman got devoted to the children or whatever. Here's a young woman, very attractive, obviously, successful in her own right, so that's fair enough, and she's bitching that she really, really can't handle being with just one guy. What a sacrifice, can you imagine?
I know.
It really is funny, and when I talk to women, and this is amazing, and we've talked about this especially with soldiers. Your husband is out there in the caves of Afghanistan risking his life to defend the country, and wifey poo is back here in safety in San Diego on the base screwing every guy that's there. And she's saying, well, I'm lonely. Yeah, really? You didn't know that your husband was a soldier, that he was going to get deployed? And you're here, so you have the right to cheat on him? And I mean, conscienceless, saying to her, are you crazy? How can you do such a thing?
Mm-hmm.
It's horrible. I mean, that's treason, let's face it. But, you know, that's all what's really happened. And what we're really witnessing now in our society, more than anything, is the change and the resistance to change. That's what's happened. We're having a cultural revolution where people are changing the way they think. They're changing the way they form families. They're not getting married. They're not, you know, committing. You see a lot of the wreckage of that in terms of the people not staying with their, you know, supporting their children and so forth, which is sad in a lot of ways. But the reality is that this is actually what women thought they wanted. And so I am happy to see them choking on it. And when guys are making big decisions, which is having sex without protection, which is the decision to have a baby, buying diamonds, doing what your girlfriend tells you, marrying her, which is what she wants, not what you want, okay? And you're doing these things, you have to really, really look at it and really think about the impact of what you're doing. Now, you were talking this week, Tom, about 15% gains buying this uranium stock.
Right.
And I'm really happy for you.
Thank you.
Don't spend it all in one place.
I'm not spending anything yet.
All right. But the question is, if you were married, right?
Yeah.
Just picture your wife holding up the sheet and saying, what the fuck is this? You spent $100,000 on a stock and you didn't tell me?
Right.
Just think about that. Think about how different your life is now as a single man in control of your, and I'm not saying how much it is, it could be $1,000 or $1 million, whatever. The fact is that I make purchase decisions on anything that I'm going to buy on my own. I don't have to clear it with the control tower.
Right.
And think about the missed opportunities. Women, especially when they get older, tend to be conservative. And here Ray Kroc is building McDonald's, which ends up being the biggest restaurant chain in the world, and his wife is giving him grief. And he's actually doing it in the face of her resistance.
Right.
I really can't imagine being in that situation where Tom Likas goes home and says, you know, Morningstar says that this is a good stock in uranium. I'm going to buy this stock. And wifey poo goes, you better not do that, Tom. We have to go on vacation this year, and I need a summer house.
Right.
Exactly. Fuck that.
Why do I have my own company? Why do I have all these holdings?
Your wife would say, you and your friends playing with the computers in Burbank? I can't have that.
Right?
You can't cash those in, Tom. I'm not going to agree with that investment.
Right.
You would never have heard the end of it.
By the way, I was married, but always had a prenup.
That's another story.
And so no one could, you couldn't even look in and see my portfolio or see what I own. But we're not, none of them had access to any of that stuff.
If you really think about it on some level, I mean, I agree with getting a prenup in that position, but you have to realize that's less and less of a marriage. I mean, you're not really partners. Your wife doesn't really know what's going on. It's really separated from her. Everything's contractually separated.
Most women I know would not know about investing. They know about spending.
No interest.
And so I say, that's why I always say, you live in your place and I'll live in my place. And you can buy curtains and doilies for the nightstands.
Throw pillows.
Have fun over there. Enjoy going to Pier 1 or cost plus, wherever you get furnish your place. But me, I'm here to take the money I have and make more money. That's what I'm here to do.
There's actually an article that I posted on my Facebook from one of the British newspapers that this is actually, they think, a new trend, Tom. That especially people that were married once, that have kids, that have been through a divorce, you know, like us, that have experienced all that and just don't want to know it again, just don't want to deal with it again.
Right.
So they actually have, and I don't know if I recommend this, but theoretically, they have long-term relationships, you know, I mean, like, you know, committed, you know, monogamous relationships.
They live at separate addresses.
Exactly.
They call it living together apart.
Right.
Yeah.
So you got your girlfriend, you can call her whatever you want to call her, your wife or whatever, but the bottom line is she lives at her place, she's got her kids and her whole freaking life, whatever. You got the same at your place with your situation and your ex-wife or whatever you're doing. And you, sure, you guys are, you love each other, you're committed, let's say, you go to movies, you hang out, you do whatever you do, but you don't live together. That's fascinating. And they're saying that's the biggest trend over 40 or whatever.
Right. And for me, I say take it to the next level. Why do you need to be living together or apart with anyone? You can date people. You can have sex with them. And I always say, I don't care if you're having sex with other people. That's fine with me because it's too expensive to get you on an exclusive basis. And there's no guarantee you're going to be exclusive.
I think that what they were trying to project was some kind of new form of committed relationship. The question is, seriously, isn't the woman sooner or later going to be reaching into your pocket? That's the real thing.
Well, yeah, if you're living together, she definitely is.
I was talking about living apart. So let's say, you know, this thing where she has her place and whatever, she's not going to be making the kind of money you're making. There's just no way. And sooner or later, she's going to be a fucking financial mess talking about, I can't do this, I don't have money for this, can you help me out, right?
Right.
Can you give me a loan, right?
Yes.
I mean, if you look at the management and the career structure, most women are not really getting it together. It's just true. And I don't think this whole thing with they show them on TV, these unbelievably successful corporate women or whatever. I'm not so sure that there are as many of those as we think there are, Tom.
There aren't.
There are some.
By the way, the vast majority of them are homely, and that's why they had to learn how to invest. They had to learn simple arithmetic, mathematics, you know, all the principles of investing. The reason they have time to read and understand Barron's is because no man would want to actually pay your bills. That's the way it works.
I love it.
All right, let's take a break here. We got calls coming in for Adam Sachs in our bonus hour, and you can join us here right now. This is free legal advice for you. And as far as family law, it's Valentine's Day when you need this kind of information the most. So all you have to do is call this number right now. 901-3000-TOM. That's the number. 901-3000-TOM. If you have questions for Adam, free legal advice is here at 901-3000-866.
Coast to coast. Around the world. And across the universe. This is the Tom Likas Show.
The Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank. It's a bonus hour. And we are here with family law attorney Adam Sachs. 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-866. Here is Ted in Las Vegas. You're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hello, Tom.
Hi, Ted.
Hey, Ted.
Nice to talk to you guys. Like, Tom, I've been listening to you since you were on the radio in the San Francisco Bay Area.
All right. That would be about 20 years.
All right.
Yeah. So, anyway, I'm calling about a buddy of mine. He lives in California and married about maybe 25 years or so. Got a couple grown daughters. And his wife has been distancing herself from him and now has decided to move out into an apartment. He gets to pay the bills, you know, the rent on the apartment and
very convenient for her, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So that's the deal. So after the kids are raised, the woman decides that she needs to find herself. and she needs to explore her own identity, and the husband has to pay, apparently.
Something like that. And
he's going along with this, God help him?
Yes, he is, and, you know, I've known him for around 40 years, and a good friend, and we're afraid that he's going to go down in this, and that she's probably going to file papers on him.
Well, what's the killer?
If
I mean,
he can protect himself in some way or prepare himself.
Well, I mean, I don't know how close you are with him, and I should probably talk to him myself, but, you know, one of the tragedies of being with someone, I mean, think about 25 years. I mean, it's a huge amount of time. I mean, I've talked to a lot of guys that have been married for less, and they're very disinclined to do things to protect themselves. And they're saying, oh, no, she won't do that to me. And, you know, I don't want to do anything that upsets her. I don't want to rock the boat with her. She's a good person. She's the mother of my children. I mean, these kinds of feelings and feelings that men have, especially of protecting a woman, they die very hard. And so, you know, I don't know what the story is, but if she has completely mind-fucked this guy, that he's buying her an apartment and he's, you know, paying her bills and he's just, like, kind of doing everything that she wants her way, you know, it's very, very tough, perhaps, to get through to him. And you have to, you know, maybe recommend that he talks to someone or talks to a professional, or I was saying to Tom before, you know, to talk to the brother or to his father to kind of snap out of it and start thinking about his own financial interests, because a woman will push you past the breaking point. And if she can suck money from this guy for the rest of his life while he's supporting her in her own apartment, while she's, let's say, screwing other guys, you know, a woman will not feel any guilt in doing that. And as long as he allows it to go on, it will continue on. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, those of us around him that are really close friends of his can see that, you know, this has been coming for a long time. He's been unhappy for a long time.
Well, that's another interesting question. When I talk to these guys that have been, as you say, I don't know about her, but he, let's say, you say, has been unhappy for a long time. You know, why didn't he do something about it? I mean, if he was miserable, if he was with this woman and she's just torturing him, you know, why did he let it go on and on and on? Why didn't he call an end to it? Right?
Well, it's like we're thinking he's just in denial. You know, he doesn't want to face it.
It's very, very harsh. I mean, listen, it's think about 25 years. Come on, that's a lifetime, you know? And if you're with someone, even if you aren't happy, you kind of used to them, you sort of have the trends, you kind of the rhythm of life. And, you know, when you have little kids and you're raising your kids and, you know, they're, you know, falling down the stairs and all the kind of crazy things that happens when you have kids, you know, years kind of zoom by. And then you wake up one day and you say, what the hell am I doing with this person or whatever? We have nothing in common. You know, there's supposed to be this thing where when you're older and your kids go, you know, out of the home, you have like the empty nest. And that's when you're supposed to start, you know, enjoying yourself, right? And you and your wife now have freedom again. And you're supposed to go on cruises and, you know, enjoy your retirement. And one of the things that we've talked about on the show, and I've mentioned this a few times, is what's called now the graying of divorce, where people with gray hair are getting divorces. And, you know, your great-grandfather and your grandfather used to say, you know, well, what can you do? This is my wife. I made my bed. Now I'm going to sleep in it. And what happens now is people say, hey, I'm 60, but I've still got another 20 or 30 good years. Why am I going to stay with this bitch? I mean, that's what happens now. And obviously, he wasn't happy, and she was the one that was willing to pull the trigger. What he has to do is recognize the circumstance and start dealing with it, protecting himself financially, you know, kind of working on separating their lives. And, you know, maybe they don't officially get divorced, or maybe they do. Maybe she files, which is always a shame to, you know, let the other person file first, but whatever. But he has to start being realistic. And if he's this lovesick guy and he thinks that somehow it's just a phase or something, he's going to get her back or something, you know, it may be very hard to get through to him. That's a big problem.
Good luck, Ted. Thank you for the call. We'll continue. We'll tell you how you can get in touch with Adam as well. And you can deal with your separation, your divorce, your child custody, child support coming up next. We'll tell you how to get in touch with Adam Sex directly. Don't go anywhere.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901. 101-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
The Tom Likas Show, the bonus hour. At 901-3000 Tom, we're here with family law attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, how do people get in touch with you?
Well, you can call me toll-free at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can check me out on Facebook or online, the World Wide Web at www.adamlawyer.com. And you can send me an email, which I love, and I answer personally, adam@adamlawyer.com.
All right, and if you missed your chance to call in to Adam, don't worry, Adam will be back. There'll be another brand spanking new bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs coming up. It's coming up on Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Free at TomEverywhere.com. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's News for Guys. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
Yes.
Celebrity stuff. Scarlett Johansson says that marriage is a lot of work, and so is being monogamous. She's now done with her second marriage. And she says that the monogamous thing is just... the monogamy thing just doesn't come naturally.
Well, now that she's split from the French dude, everything's good.
Right. She says, you know, for people who think that there's no difference, even if you've been together for like 10 years and then you get married, the moment you sign those papers, she says, everything changes. There's now this legal responsibility that you have. There's a weight on your shoulders.
She also says that as it applies to monogamy, it just isn't natural.
Right. I mean, do you disagree with anything she says?
No. And she's a smoke show, damn it.
She is indeed. Except I'm trying to figure out what's with the tattoo under her.
I don't even care.
Her right titty.
It's not going to stop me. It looks like an eagle.
It does.
You know, like the bottom
like
feather
a,
part.
Like a shitty eagle, though. Is that like a eagle claw and some feathers?
I think it's like the bottom tail.
Because she has other ones that she's shown, and they are particularly bad tattoos.
Yeah,
it's the only thing. By the way, this is a new Playboy, which now includes nudity again.
So but she won't be, but I can assure you that it's all good.
Yeah. Linda Robson is an English actress. She has been married for 26 years. And just this week, she has copped to the fact that her husband has never seen her naked. 26 years of marriage.
I thought Adam would laugh at that for sure.
He's never seen her naked.
She's on a show called Loose Women.
Yeah.
Well, how does that happen?
They do it, she says they do it under the duvet. They do it under the covers, lights off, curtains drawn, and she wears a granny nightie.
She might as well be Mormon.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
How is this dude, by the way, I mean,
oh,
I don't know if you
God.
Really want to do her anyway, but how does this dude put up with that? That's pretty crazy.
How many years, too? Oh, my God.
Your boy Harrison Ford's at it again in his little plane.
I'm serious. People need to recognize this one thing.
What?
The Millennium Falcon is fake. It's not real. It's CGI or model at this point. Our friend in real life can't fly a real plane.
He apparently flew over a 737 with 116 passengers on it.
On the taxiing part.
Yeah, they were waiting.
Not the designated runway.
No, they were lined up to take off. They're like second in position, and he flew right over their plane. When he wasn't supposed to, obviously.
Right. But this comes on the heels of him landing in my neighborhood on a golf course just a little while ago.
I know you think you're adjacent to that sort of thing, but you're really not.
I'm walking distance from where he landed, walking.
For a person that's in shape and has some time to walk, it's not going to happen for you.
I just think that our friend should just stop flying.
All right.
Han Solo's confused.
Yeah.
You tell him, Chew. Do you know how many Chewies could tell him to stop fucking flying?
Last time the problem was on takeoff, right?
It was an emergency landing.
Right. This time he got confused landing. I don't even think he fully, like, you know, got the gist of what happened last time. You know, don't you get that feeling?
No, obviously. Yeah. He probably thinks he could do anything. Right. You're in a movie, Ford. You're in a fucking movie.
Yeah.
J.J. Abrams is having you fly around.
Yeah.
Georgie Lucas.
Okay. Finally, Floyd Mayweather Conor McGregor thing is not going to happen.
Yeah.
I think everybody knew that. But
not everybody knew. You just watch online and everything's out of control.
It was wishful thinking.
Floyd is saying there is no deal in place to fight Conor.
Yeah.
So everybody calm down. God.
Plenty more news for guys.com. And, of course, you can find our podcast at GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.
You're hearing this from the same person that runs out into the fucking street every day and waits for you like a dope. I stand out in the fucking street.